Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time of year to pull back the curtain and make some bold predictions for 2019. It's been a rough and tumble 2018, and as we continue to celebrate the holiday season, we'll explore the new possibilities of what may happen in the coming months. From business to workplace dynamics, to millennials, to mayhem in the White House, we'll look at how these issues will shape our lives both on and off the job in 2019. Buckle up and let's blast off as we test the building blocks of our future. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and we thank you for listening to our show today. I hope you are enjoying the holiday season, or you're just having a quiet time of reflection, or you are doing a countdown waiting for all of these crazy holidays to end. Well, actually, last week we talked about holidays. There's six of them between roughly December 3rd and January 6th. You can go back to last week's issue, that's December 20th, 2018, and follow all six of them, learn more about them. We're in the midst of Kwanzaa as we speak. This is the second day in Kwanzaa. We will end up with Watch Night, which is also talked about last week, and then Three Kings Day, that's the Epiphany, that'll take place on January 6th. So we're right in the middle, or sort of nearing the end of the holiday season, and you can learn about the history, why these holidays all happen, and what you have to do with it with our last episode. So thank you so much for that. I hope you had a good Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. I certainly did. Well, this is also the time of year to look at predictions for 2019, and I've done just that. I'm going to just jump right in so that we can get them all in. I'm basically going to list them and talk about them from a higher perspective today, and then I'm going to come back and probably hit them throughout the months of January through March, because a lot of it has to do with people in the United States. Now, these are U.S. predictions. Obviously, I live in the United States. I know that I have listeners in other parts of the world, but I'm basing this on the U.S. from my perspective. But I travel, so I'm also taking into consideration people who live in other countries and how they may perceive the United States. So that's my perspective, and that's the disclaimer. Number one is the continued function and value of diversity and its progress and its pushback. And I look at it twofold. We're marching into the future. Whether you like it or not, change is already taking place. Change is happening whether you least expect it. I've worked in parts of the Midwest in the United States. I've worked in Nebraska, and I remember working for a university there, and they're located in Crete, Nebraska. Doan College is their name. And just the diversity that took place in that small community in the middle, in the heartland of Nebraska, because of the meatpacking industry that is based there, they had to import people from around the world, including Japan, to work in those meatpacking facilities. So even in parts of the United States that you would even think about, the demographic changes are already having its impact in these communities where manufacturing or different kind of industries are dominant, and it's attracting people from around the world. That is nothing new. When you look at the United States has always attracted people from around the world. We are a melting pot. We are a nation of immigrants. And if you don't think that, you need to go back and really look at your history, because that is a fact. So we're just looking at it differently now. Different cities, different communities, but it's definitely having its impact. For some people, these changes are scary. For some people, these changes are frightening. And for some people, these changes just can't happen because they are fixed in a different era where they may be in the dominant group or they may not be in the dominant group, or things just may be so radically different now from what they are accustomed to. There is creating this pushback and backlash as it relates to diversity itself, multiculturalism, and inclusion. But as I had mentioned earlier, we are very much in a changing community. The dynamics are changing. The geopolitics are changing. The world is connected in a way where we can't disconnect, even though the forces are trying to disconnect them, but it's having a real impact on how people look at each other, how they think about each other, and how we interact. We are seeing it play out definitely in school systems. I mentioned to you earlier Crete, Nebraska, and the young students who are going to school in those communities, Hispanic children, Asian children, etc., from the parents who are living in those communities who were not born there. So those are where you're seeing the early stages of the demographic shifts. And then it just spills out into the community and definitely into the workplace. Boston is now a majority-minority city, and it's been that way probably for the last 5 to 6 years. It will continue to be a majority-minority city. So when you look at Boston, I look at the police chief, who is now African-American. I look at the district attorney for Suffolk County, now African-American. Look at Cambridge, Massachusetts, and their police chief, African-American. And the list goes on and on with key stakeholders and players who are not white, who are in leading jobs in cities like Boston and elsewhere. The dynamics are changing. The demographics are changing. We actually had Police Commissioner William Gross. He was our keynote speaker at our November 1st multicultural conference. So with that, when you look at geopolitics, I'm spending a little bit more time on this because this is the context for a lot of the other trends that I'm going to talk about. When you look at how different things are, how radically different things are, it is either embracing for some people, it's welcoming to some people, but for other individuals, demographics, and including a minority, I'm going to say it's a minority of whites who are in fringe groups, who are on the radical right, who follow Donald Trump to the T, to the letter, regardless of how he is hurting them economically, that element, that constituency is going to continue to push back and be diversity deniers well into 2019. But despite that, they're going to be overshadowed by these radical and systematic and sometimes gradual changes in demographics, in multiculturalism, in diversity that are just going to continue just to march forward. That's going to happen throughout 2019. That's trend number one. Trend number two, women are definitely gaining, their voices are being heard in America. In so many cases, in leadership roles, we have a long way to go with women. But when you look at two factors, number one, the Me Too movement in the United States has firmly etched itself and firmly has taken root in our corporations, in our organizations. We've seen, my goodness, in the last 2 years, just the radical outpouring of rejection of men in most cases who have systematically just reigned or have a reign of terror in terms of sexual harassment and sexual abuse on women. Those particular men, the Matt Lauers of the world, the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, the Bill Cosbys of the world, that kind of behavior is going to be called out and will be not tolerated in our companies, in our organizations. Now, I could spend a week talking about Judge Kavanaugh, who is now on the Supreme Court, and the impact that he had. But I think that even in his case, even though he was put on the Supreme Court, he was voted on, pretty much by the Senate, was voted on the Supreme Court, I don't think that his actions in the past will be condoned by people so that he will be the rubber stamp poster boy for good behavior by men in the United States. So women are having their voices heard loudly and clearly, and they're definitely being heard loudly and clearly in Congress, where you will see come January 3rd, I believe the date is, when Congress will change hands, and we will have a democratically controlled Congress, and many, many new women in Congress, in the House of Representatives. So many women with children and young children, they're having to reconfigure some of the rooms, even breastfeeding rooms, where a lot of these Congresswomen will need to go and take care of their children and run the country at the same time. That's having a very systematic change. I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to really embed itself in 2019.
You're listening to Focus on Empowerment with Carol Copeland Thomas.
All right. Getting back to trend number three, prediction number three. The economy will be in flux in 2019. We just have to see what's happening right now with the stock market. Yes, it became bullish, should I say, on the 26th, but now it's sort of waning again. This is December 27th. They were looking at Christmas Eve was, I think, one of the worst Christmas Eves in the stock market in terms of where it ended up when it closed. Worst one in countless years or decades. It bounced back on December 26th. But now there's just some concern about how things are going to pan out in terms of the economy. Clearly, we'll look at what happens with the Christmas sales and how that ended up. But more importantly, where is our economy headed in the future in 2019? And this is directly related to the White House. When you have such instability in the White House, just extreme erratic behavior with all these tweets that are taking place, with firing people one right after the other, or in the case of General Mattis, who elegantly left and posted his letter about why he was leaving and the implications of what that means in terms of real stable voices like General Mattis, who left, and what is left behind, how President Trump is trying to influence in a negative way the Wall Street community, the Federal Reserve, as he is berating the leadership with the Federal Reserve. All of that is currently having a negative impact on Wall Street and the economy. And my prediction is it's going to continue to ebb and flow. We're going to have some scary times going into 2019, which will then have a ripple effect on employment and opportunities. And we just have to look at the government shutdown that's happening right now. That government shutdown is having a very negative effect on people's pocketbooks, on their wealth creation opportunities. I even gave an example in one of my posts on LinkedIn and Facebook where individuals who have government secret clearance have to have really good credit. They have to really have a certain credit score in order to keep their government clearance. If in January, now checks are probably going to be issued tomorrow. Perhaps maybe one more check will be issued next week based on the pay schedule of these 800,000 employees. But if the shutdown continues, this is a partial shutdown that we're in now, if it continues and then people start missing paychecks and they can't pay their bills on time, that will have a negative impact on those who have, in this case, secret clearances with the government because their credit is going to be impacted because of late payments. That's a reality. That's not a what if. That's a reality. So the longer this shutdown from an employee's perspective, the worse it is and the more precarious it is for those who are federal employees. Now, what about food stamp recipients? What about contractors? What about people who are expecting to get paid at the end of the year or getting paid in January, and they are a third-party vendor working with government employee or government staff members, or they have a government contract. All of those implications go well beyond those who are on the payroll. I have worked with the government. I know what it's like to get paid by the government with my projects, my consulting projects. So again, all of that is in question the longer this government shutdown, this partial shutdown, takes place. So that will impact in a negative way the economy the longer it grows. Number four is that there are going to be more and more devices, handheld devices, smartphones, echo systems, and voice activated devices. I can pick up my iPhone right now and Siri will spell a word for me. So all of those kind of things are being normalized in our society. They're normal. And this is well beyond the United States, because so many people in all countries have access to these devices, and they're being used, and being used from a functionality perspective, just to get around your day, to GPS that you'll get from point A to point B, to spell a word, as I've just said to you, to book calendar appointments. The normalization of these devices, and then you go all the way into artificial intelligence, is becoming a mainstay and having a significant impact on the United States. Number five, millennials are going to continue to dig deeper into their family history, whether it's Ancestry.com, 23andMe, or other kind of these genealogy DNA analysis companies that will search your ancestry based on your DNA. Now, I just completed my DNA. I'm going to talk about that in another issue. I have my results. It was pretty fascinating for me, confirmationally so, because my parents had told me an awful lot, but the DNA proved what my parents already told me, and then some. So we're going to talk about that more. But I've watched a lot of videos from young people who are doing their DNA testing, and then they create these YouTube videos. And some of them are really amazed. Some of them want to know more. Clearly, there is a yearning and a hunger for young people, millennials in particular, to reach back and have a direct connection with their ancestors. So don't tell me that history is dead. No, it's not. You're seeing history recreating itself in the form of these DNA revelations and YouTube revelations, and regardless of what company is being used, it's a fascinating way to reconnect, particularly younger people, with their past. We're going to take a station break real quickly and then come right back.
Join the fastest growing globally based membership community, the Multicultural Symposium Series. Since 2008, MSS is designed to advance the cause of diversity, multiculturalism, and inclusion. By joining MSS, you connect with our community of professionals around the world who respect the differences and similarities throughout the marketplace. Through our new online courses, resource center, and community forum, where you can discuss important issues with colleagues around the marketplace, MSS will enhance your personal and professional development and take your knowledge base of the subject to a whole new level. And your membership includes attending the always popular multicultural conference. It's simple, fast, and effective to become a member. Simply visit www.mssglobalsummit.com and click the Join Now button on the homepage. It's only $29 a month to join MSS, and you'll receive discount pricing when you join as a small business owner or corporate leader looking for solid value for your staff members and colleagues. Visit www.mssglobalsummit.com and get ready to take your career path to the top.
I am so excited about MSS Global Summit. I tell you, I just hope you'll get there. You'll join as a member. We have so many good things in store for you. Wherever you happen to live, join and connect with a community of worldwide advocates who really want to advance the cause of diversity, multiculturalism, and inclusion. So that is MSSGlobalSummit.com. Also want to give a big shout out and a plug for my friend Ann McNeil, who is running her annual meeting, part of the International Masterminds group in Boca Raton, Florida. She is a leading expert on Think and Grow Rich. That was the book that was written many years ago by Napoleon Hill, but now has a gathering, a worldwide gathering of people. There's a foundation that's set up, and it's all based on intentional living, living in a way where you are focused on your goals, financial goals, and other goals. And in her case, Ann McNeil talks about a holistic way of looking at your goals. Great time to do it. Next Saturday, January 5th, 2019, in Boca Raton, Florida. There's still space for you to go in. It's a day-long meeting. Really get started on your goals in a very tangible way where you will be accountable. That's the most important thing. I will be there. You can find out more about it and where to register at www.internationalmasterminders.com. That's International Masterminders, MINDERS.com. Be there. Really get yourself on track for 2019 with this wonderful way to make yourself accountable and propel yourself into 2019. All right, number six, and again, I'm moving through these, but we're going to come back and pick them up. There's going to be more detail on the website at mssconnect.com, MSS.com. You can go there, and I'm also going to put this radio broadcast on tellcarol.com, or that's my carolcopelandthomas.com website, so that you can access it a couple of different ways and read more about it so that you can understand where we fit in, where we all fit in, for 2019. Number six, boomers retire and start working again. So it's almost like I call them rebranded boomers or boomerang boomers. Many people are retiring. They're getting pension plans. They are getting furloughed. They're getting laid off, whatever the terminology happens to be. I know some people in that category, but they have to continue to work. They can't just sit around and eat bonbons for the rest of their life, or they're pretty active or energetic. And so they're getting part-time jobs, they're starting new businesses, they're re-entering the workplace. They are rebranded boomers. I'm actually talking to some of them with my coaching practice, where people are trying to refit, retrofit, reposition themselves so that they become very viable commodities into 2019 and beyond. Number seven is that the U.S. image and brand, they are both in flux. I don't have to tell you that. I do travel quite a bit. I was in Kenya in November. I'll be in India in February and a couple of other countries in 2019. And the White House banter does not help. The tweets don't help. And we are still the choice of many people who want to come here for school. They want to live here permanently. They want to work here. They want to do business here. But even when I think about young, innovative entrepreneurs who are living in different countries, the U.S. is not the only choice for them. For some of them, they are being welcomed into Canada. They are being welcomed into Brazil and other countries because of the image and reputation and what's taking place in the United States. And God forbid, I just think about two Guatemalan children now deceased because of what's going on with our border, our southern border. That's just a horrific, horrific situation. So our U.S. image and brand is in flux. It's not in tatters. It's in flux. And we'll stay in flux until we can stabilize our leadership at the top. Number eight, healthy living is still a goal of many. It's incorporated. You look at all the lifestyle dynamics, all the videos, exercising that's taking place. You travel, and there's travel and tourism excursions that are focused on healthy, proactive ways to exercise. At restaurants now, there are new choices. Even fast food restaurants have calorie counts. That's going to continue. I go to the gym quite a bit. So healthy living is still a mainstay and is still a focal point in the United States and will be thus for quite some time. Number nine, new ways to express faith in action. Do you know that you now can log on to virtual churches? There are churches that you can log on to. And again, as I build out this article in some future blogs, I'll give you some links where you can go. And these are young people who have started churches. This is not the Jimmy Swaggart and the Tammy Faye, those kind of players and individuals who start those profit-oriented churches. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about more of a mindfulness perspective. That's a new word. That's a word that is quite popular in some circles. But you look at the fusion of mindfulness and these online churches, they're completely online. And then the expansion of some traditional churches who are smartly taking advantage of virtual audiences that they can find. Facebook Live, there are countless churches now that are broadcasting on Facebook. They're physical churches, but they are reaching audiences with social media. That trend is going to continue and expand, and it's going to be quite amazing to watch. And then number 10 is that America still needing to find personal reasons to really connect with neighbors around the world. Now, we can start with people who are here who weren't born here, but are here nonetheless. I have two sons-in-law, both born outside of the United States, both U.S. citizens, both married to my daughters. And I go to one son-in-law's family members and friends. I've been doing this now for the last three or four Christmases. And it's fascinating to be in the presence of people from Cape Verde, the island of Cape Verde. These are Americans, they're American citizens or residents. And to sit at a wonderful, wonderful Christmas table where people are speaking three languages, and I'm included. Three languages, they're speaking English, they're speaking Portuguese, and they're speaking Creole all at the same time with wonderful food in front of you. If we can take that dinner table experience and then expand it by traveling. I'm taking a group to Kenya, November 2019. The information will be on the website shortly. Travel. Or if you can't travel, going online and finding ways where you can connect with people around the world. It's easy to do. You can do it with WhatsApp. There are many people in developing nations who may not be on Facebook, but they have access to WhatsApp. That's an app that you can put on your smartphone. You can talk to people audio-wise and communicate with them with their text program. So that's a quick run-up of those top 10 areas. I'll just very briefly do them again so you'll have access to them. The continued access of diversity, progress, and pushback that's taking place, women gaining as voices of change, the economy, the U.S. economy in question, devices that are normalizing the way that we do business and the way that we function, millennials who are digging deeper into their family history, boomers who are retiring and starting again, the U.S. image and its brand in flux, healthy living and its impact on our society, new ways that people are expressing themselves from a faith-based perspective, and America still trying to figure out how they can connect with people around the world. Those are my top 10 predictions for 2019. Happy New Year to you. We'll be back in the new year with a brand new show. We're going to continue with this discussion going forward. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great new 2019.